when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio family members out there. Today, it is, just in case you'd like to know, this is June the 3rd in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty God, 2023. You're listening to Blood River Radio. This is the only media in the world that I know of. We're syndicated nationally, and you can get us internationally. And we're the only media I know of. Our sole purpose is to fight against global white genocide, which is in full speed right now. And today, we've got, before I go to the prayer, we have a very emotional program. So I want y'all to bear with me, because I think you need to get emotional with this topic we're going to talk about. This is our second week in a row that we're going to talk about. The lost veterans that almost nobody remembers. That's the veterans of United States Ship Liberty. But people, before we go to that, if you know, this is the Blood River Radio is a Christian program. So, you know, if you've been listening here, you all know the drill. We always go to the Lord in prayer. So, if you will, people, please bow your head. Almighty Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all that's seen and unseen, the maker of all the elements, every single element that we know of on the periodic table, and there's some out there that we haven't been discovered yet, but our scientists say that they exist. Lord created all that. He just spoke it into being. The same Lord sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth. Even though Jesus came on his own, his Father asked him to come here to save us worthless sinners. And I am one of the chief sinners. But he came here to pay the sin price. And he was crucified. First of all, he led a simple life. He was tried and convicted by the Jews priding on the Romans. He was hung on a tree. He suffered. He was suffered horribly. He was buried, and his Father Jesus, his Father God, rose him again on the third day. And if you believe that in your heart and confess with your lips, you shall be saved. And Lord, I would ask you to please rain down justice on the enemies that we're going to talk about today. Most of them are the same old enemy. They're the same old serpent in the Garden of Eden. The same old enemy that said, "Give us Barabbas." It goes on and on and on. So Lord, if you will, help us keep identifying, never lose our courage to identify the enemies, to give us the courage to fight that enemy in every way we can. And Lord, I'm saying a special prayer, since this is United States Ship Liberty Month for Blood River Radio. Please bring these criminals, these people that hate your guts, the sons of their father, the devil's office of corps. God, oh Lord, how long are you going to give them free reign on this earth right here? I just like to ask that, Lord, and I'd like to ask you, please punish them, Lord. If you will, continue to bless Blood River Radio and Liberty News Radio and all of our listeners and all of our family and everyone out there listening to this show. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, people, we're going to bring the sailors on. We've got two sailors coming on, but we're going to bring them on at the bottom after this first break, after this first segment. Because I know one of them, we got to conserve his voice. We're going to have Bob Scarborough back on in a few minutes. He was on last week. You know, he's not well. His throat's messed up. We're also going to bring Larry Bowen on. He is the current serving president of United States Ship Liberty Association. And I'm very excited to have him on because Larry's never been on before. Now, we went down to Pensacola 2 years ago. We called Sam up and said, "Hey, Sam, we got this guy named Larry Bowen. He's the president of the Liberty Association. He's down here in Pensacola." And so Sam got him on his show, I think for a half an hour or an hour. But he's never been on Blood River. And we're really excited to get him on tonight. But people, you've probably listened in to last week's show. And we've done this broadcast several years in a row about the Liberty. And I'm going to put this out there. And I hope I do make some of you mad. I really do. I hope some of you do hate me, because if you know some of the people I'm pointing at, if you hate me, that means I'm doing God's work. But I'm going to tell you what. You people, and I always pick on the Southern Baptists, and I've said this several times, I just call them the Bab Jews. And that, you know what? They're the synagogue of Satan, and you're talking to a recovering Baptist here. I'm dropping the same napalm out on the United Methodists, the United Presbyterians, all these United whorehouses. A matter of fact, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door today, and I unloaded on them. They're an occult, but I'm going to tell you what. You people out there, you know, I'm talking to, that you worship these Jews, these Judeo-Christians, I despise you, and I'm not going to pull any punches. I cannot stand the sight of you. You hate your Judas goats. You're traitors to your own race. You're traitors to your own people. You're traitors to your own God. And I just cannot stand the sight of you. And I'm going to say this here. God forbid we ever have another United States Ship Liberty type incident. God forbid. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I'm going to say this. If it does happen, I hope that the guys on the ships and their parents are good old Judeo-Christians, members of the synagogue of Satan, that Jesus Christ named them. Jesus Christ, that's his words, not mine, if you read Revelation. He called them synagogue of Satan. Here's what I hope happens. I hope if it does, and you people continuing to support Israel, these criminals, I hope and pray that it's one of your boys, not one of ours. And here's what I hope. I hope they get these boys, like they did in the United States Ship Liberty, after that ship was shot all to pieces. And you know what, folks? There was 34 of these sailors and Marines killed. Officers, sailors, and Marines were killed. 34 of them. There was 174 wounded, for a total of 208 casualties out of a crew of just 294. That's a casualty rate of almost 71%. Getting back to what I was saying, I hope, dear Lord, if it happens again to our sailors and Marines, let it be one of these good Judeo-Christian boys. And I hope that they take their guts, like people like Bob Scarborough, who had to go down in the guts and the bowels of that ship, get these dead bodies, these sailors and Marines that had been down there for days, thanks to our president of the United States at that time, Liberty LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, may he rest in hell. And the Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, may he rest in hell with them. May they be in the hottest part of hell. I hope they send these boys, get their eyeball here, eyeball there. I mean, what the hell? We're just Gentile goyim. So we couldn't possibly be as good as a Jew. I hope they get eyeball here, eyeball leg there, five or six, and put them in these plastic bags and go and dump them on a big Southern Baptist church, a Bab Jews church, and say, "Here's your boys." I've said this before, but I mean it. See if you can separate them. Now, some of these legs don't match, eyeballs don't match, your guts, your liver, pancreas doesn't match, but just put them together best you can. And you know what? If we don't give a damn about what we did to your boys, because it's for your God the Jew, and it's for your sacred country, your holy Israel. So since you people are just worthless scum goyim, you were here to serve Gentiles, you were here to serve Jews, you stinking Christians, we hate your guts. And we even hate you more because you love us. We have nothing but contempt. We hate you because we look down on you. We despise you because you turn your back on your own people. We even had that much more contempt. If you would just stand up and fight for your Christianity, fight for your God, instead of trying to worship idols like the Jew, the son of the devil, Jesus Christ told them in St. John 8:44, You know, if you would stand up and fight, we might not have as much contempt for you. But anyway, I hope they do dump those body parts out and let the mom and dad sit there and take it like I know they will, because they won't possibly raise up a word against their God-forsaken Jews and their God-forsaken Israel. So I despise you people out there. I really do. I'm a veteran, but even if I wasn't, I would bleed for my other federal veterans, and I'll never get over this as long as I live. Anyway, people, we're getting to ready to bring the sailors on. I want to get that fire out of the way before they came on. We got a report here from Admiral Thomas Moore. He was the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We have General Raymond G. Davis, United States Marine Corps. He was the assistant commandant of the Marines. We have Rear Admiral Merlin Starling, United States Navy, retired, former Judge African General of the United States Navy. Ambassador James Atkins, on and on and on. We have reports from the Chief of Naval Intelligence at that time. And it all points to the same thing. The Jews, Israel did it. And get this, folks. Not only did they go ahead, not only these stinking Jews in Israel, not only did they torpedo the ship, napalm the ship, machine gunned the rafts. The sailors and Marines tried to, the rafts that were lowered, they machine gunned them. And guess where they got the ordnance to do that with? Most of the ordnance they got was from your precious United States. May that precious United States government in Washington, D.C., may it burn in hell for all eternity. People, we'll be right back with the sailors. Hang on to your seats.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we are back again. I had to open up and drop some napalm in that first segment. We've got the precious sailors here. Before I go to them, I'm going to say we have the lost veterans that hardly no one remembers. We got them on, a couple of those on in a minute. By the way, this is the 40th anniversary of the Gordon Calls murder / assassination. June the 4th would be the anniversary of the Battle of Midway. June the 6th, anniversary of the D-Day. It was brother against brother, I may add, and June the 8th, just a few more days, it's going to be the anniversary of the, that is the day of all days of all infamies, when the our precious and only ally in the Mideast, Israel, and those precious Jews did everything in their power with, like I said earlier, with the condolence of the United States, LBJ, and the president at that time, Defense Secretary Robert McNamara, may they rest in hell forever. And they did it, people. They do these Israeli people. Guess what? They got where they got most about all their ordnance from, their fighter planes, their bullets, but everything they used, they came from the United States. Yeah. So I'm pretty bitter about that. But anyway, folks, I got to shut up. This isn't about me. This is about the sailors. It's old armies, but I love that we're all brothers. So we're going to bring on, I guess, first of all, since we've had Bob on, Bob Scarborough, we're going to let Larry introduce himself. How you doing today, brother Larry?
I'm doing fine, Eddie. And I'm Sir. Larry Bowen. I was a CTR-2 back in June 8th, 1967, communications technician, radioman, second class.
Yes, sir. I'm so glad to have you tonight. And I've tried to keep my thoughts organized. I wish I could control my emotions better. But anyway, it's so great to have you on tonight. And we'll also introduce Bob Scarborough, who was on last week. We'll introduce him, and we'll let you lead off in a minute, Larry, just because Bob was here last week. How you doing tonight, Bob?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing a lot better since you're on, brother. You're always one of my favorite guys. But I'm so glad to have you back on. What was that, Bob? Of course you can.
Okay, good. Larry, how are you, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you, Bob?
I'm hanging in there, shipmate, hanging in.
All right, well, that's all we can do at this age.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, you know, Bob, I guess I'll let you lead off. You know, you just said what your MOS was. That's military occupational specialist for the civilians out there. At least that's what we said in the Army. But if you will, start off, we'll try to go a little history, then we'll come up to how you feel this present day's day and time. Tell our listeners, Larry, what you were doing that day. You could even do on maybe June the 7th and go to June the 8th. What were you doing? What were the thoughts in your mind before that attack hit? Anything you want to say? This is you. This show belongs to you and Bob.
All right. Well, this on June 8th, actually June 7th, we were almost on station. We got on station on June 8th, the morning of June 8th. The Israelis started overflying us almost immediately. I had a day watch that day, so I was down in Radio Research 1 copying code. I didn't have a care in the world. When we knew that Israel was doing the overflying, most of us felt pretty comfortable that, you know, our ally had our back. So, you know, when they turned colors on us at 2 o'clock that afternoon, 1400 for us military types, they had blackened all of their insignias on the aircraft. So we couldn't tell who was attacking us. And we clearly didn't think that it was Israel at the time. We thought it was probably Egypt. But when we went out with our distress call that day, the operator told them that we didn't know who was attacking. We were just under attack. So I didn't see the action from topside. I was below decks, and I guess after the attack, I had a much better understanding of that relationship that the United States and Israel have. So, and I can't say that I support that, but it's just a fact of life. But I don't know what.
Yes, sir.
Bob was also Bob was also working that day, so we ought to get him on and let him tell his story.
Yes, sir. I knew his voice is kind of sore, so we're preserving him some. Bob, come on, fella, and tell old Eddie and tell our audience out there everything. Go ahead, Bob.
From my perspective, I had worked the mid-watch the night before, and I got off at 7 that morning and got some chow and went to sleep. And I got up about noon or so and got more chow. And about, I guess like Larry said, it was around, there was a practice drill. All the horns went off and we went down to whatever our duty station was for, what's it called, Larry?
General quarters.
Our GQ station, that's correct. So, and, which I did do. And we were thinking, well, we're safe. I mean, Israelis are following us around. And if there's something that happens, why we feel protected. And so the GQ practice was over and we all went back to whatever we were doing before. And no sooner than we got back to our, back for me was in our berthing compartment, which was in the aft end of the ship. So I hadn't been topside all morning. I'd been below decks the whole morning, so I didn't see any of the overflights or anything. And about, so no sooner than we got back to the, from the practice GQ, than we heard what was unmistakably bullets hitting the overhead above us. And and before the GQ alarm went off, everybody was up and running back to where their duty station was, GQ, which mine, again, was below deck. So I never went topside at all. I went straight from our berthing compartment down to my GQ station, which was in RR1, 2 decks below the main deck. So...
Larry, you were one deck below, wouldn't you?
Well, I was just one deck below, and I was one deck above where the torpedo entered. From where Bob was, yeah.
So the torpedo hit one deck below. Which,
yes.
They launched five torpedoes at the ship. And fortunately for us, only one hit. It hit in our comm center and wiped out 25 of our fellow crew members. But the good news, I guess, is that they hit just next to frame 51, and all of our watertight doors and bulkhead, those are walls for civilians, were intact.
Larry, we have to go to a quick break. This will be our first commercial break since you guys come on. We'll be right back to you. Don't lose that thought. Folks, we're with the USS Liberty.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Varmash. President Biden signed the debt ceiling bill into law on Saturday afternoon. In a Friday evening televised speech, Biden called it good news for America. He also praised House Speaker Kevin McCarthy for his efforts in reaching the bipartisan agreement that passed through Congress. The sweeping measure raises the federal debt limit ahead of the June 5th deadline and keeps the USA from defaulting on its debt. Former President Trump says he's, quote, at least as innocent as his vice president after Mike Pence was cleared of all charges related to classified documents at his home. The Justice Department said Friday it wouldn't bring charges against the former vice president, and Trump wrote on Truth Social that he should be fully exonerated on what he called a hoax. Federal agents raided Trump's Mar-a-Lago home last year after his refusal to turn classified documents over. Officials in India are calling off a search and rescue effort after one of the worst rail disasters in the country's history. Nearly 300 people were killed and hundreds more injured when two passenger trains derailed, trapping victims under wrecked rail cars and mangled coaches in eastern India. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is clarifying the U.S. position when it comes to China throwing its weight around in the Indo-Pacific region.
To be clear, we do not seek conflict or confrontation, but we will not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion.
Speaking at a major Asian security conference in Singapore, Austin said the U.S. would prefer dialogue over conflict. Another state takes action on gender-affirming care for minors.
Texas becomes the 19th state to do so after Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill into law Friday. It takes effect in September, banning health care providers from prescribing hormones or puberty blockers to minors and from performing surgeries that help with gender transition. There are exceptions for those already in the process or who have been through mental health counseling. I'm Jeremy Scott.
This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Here's Blood River Radio family. Listen, we have two wonderful guys on. We have Larry Bowen. It's his first time to be on Blood River. Like I may have said earlier, that we had him on 2 years ago when we were down at Pensacola, the U.S. Liberty Association veteran. They had their reunion down there, and it was like a blessing. I got to go down there. I stayed there a couple of days with the guys, and we did a radio program down there, and I'll never forget that. And we've had Bob Scarborough on several times, but this, and although Larry was on, he was on Saturday morning, the first hour with Sam's program, but that was on Liberty News. He hasn't been on Blood River before, but I'm really, really proud about to have him on. But anyway, we were talking with Larry Bowen, and Larry, once again, in case you're just tuning in, Larry Bowen is the current president of the United States Ship Liberty Veterans Association. And so if anybody out there, if y'all have any questions, I don't know if the guys want to take questions or not, but if they do, anybody wants to call in, it'll be fine. But anyway, I'm going to go right back to you, Larry, and take up where you left off, brother.
All right. Well, first let me say that I was the president up until December. I had a hip replacement in February, and so because of that, I relinquished my command as the president, and Frank O'Klassen is now the president, will be until June. Well, yeah, in about 3 days, they'll have another election of officers. So because we've got a reunion coming up in Colorado on the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th of June. But getting back to where I was, the five torpedoes that were launched, only one was, you know, successful in hitting the ship. And I think I mentioned that it killed 25 of our shipmates and wounded through the whole attack. We had 34 men killed and 174 of us wounded. And, you know, when they attacked using, you know, French Mirage jets with armor-piercing 50 caliber machine guns and rockets, and then they came in and hit us with napalm, set the superstructure, you know, on fire, and then the torpedo boats came up to try and finish us off. So I think you mentioned, Eddie, early on that Israel had expended all of its armament on their attack, and they weren't able to sink us. And so for us, you know, I'm sure Bob feels the same, that we're the lucky ones. We survived, but not without, you know, injuries.
That's a very, very high casualty rate. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that's the first and probably the last time that a United States Navy ship has ever had napalm canisters dropped on it.
Probably.
I don't think
that's probably correct.
Yeah, I would say probably.
You know, I can imagine that. And you guys back me from, correct me if I'm wrong. Also, right before you guys came out, when I opened this show, the broadcast, the survivors of USS Liberty, the sailors and the Marines, had lowered, I believe, had been able to get three life rafts in the water. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but Israeli torpedo boats and aircraft, and or aircraft, machine gun those rafts, those life rafts. Is that true, guys? Larry?
That's correct. We lowered the life rafts into the water to help offload some of the more seriously wounded and get them off the ship. You know, all of us were going to get off if we were lucky, but we wanted to get those that were severely injured into the life rafts. But like you said, the torpedo boats and probably the aircraft as well, machine gun the life rafts, and you know, so they were useless to us.
We were, you know, still unaware. We were still unaware that it was Israel that had attacked us. We just assumed it was the Arabs, and until the torpedo boats got close enough for those on the bridge or somebody with glasses could see the Israeli flags flying from the torpedo boats. So we just assumed right away that those were not Israelis.
You know, guys, I guess I'll ask this question to Bob. You know, to your knowledge, is it not against international law, the Geneva Convention, this is probably kind of a rhetorical or dumb question, to machine gun life rafts from a injured ship that's probably going to sink, that has a highly likelihood of being shot? Is it, if you guys may, or if you don't know, it's okay, but if it, it's probably against international law to machine gun life rafts. Would you think would you think that's right?
Go ahead, Bob. Think that that's correct. I don't know. Larry, do you know?
Yeah, I do know that it's true. And, of course, that never came out during the Court of Inquiry. The Court of Inquiry that was held within a week of the attack didn't allow anything that would discredit Israel. They, I mean, obviously Israel was the attacking country, but we weren't allowed to say anything negative that, you know, that the court would accept. And machine gunning the life rafts, Lieutenant Lloyd Painter actually saw them doing that, and he tried to bring it up, and again, they disallowed it.
What? It's just incomprehensible. You know, this is an emotional thing. Don't know where to go. You know, guys, I have this. Before I go to this, I have a copy of Admiral Thomas Moore's report, and just in case the people didn't know who he was, people that are just tuning in, Admiral Thomas H. Moore was a four-star admiral, if I'm not mistaken. He was the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and along with him, I'll reread this from the first hour. We had General Raymond G. Davis of the United States Marine Corps. He was the former assistant commandant of the Marine Corps. We had Rear Admiral Marlon Starling, who was of the United States Navy, retired. He was the former Judge Advocate General of the Navy. I was going to contrast the so-called investigation. Now, I don't think there's ever been a congressional investigation of the USS Liberty, but there was of the U.S. Pueblo that was attacked off the coast of North Korea. And I was looking, I had some notes here somewhere, and it talked about how many days, weeks, months that they investigated the U.S. Pueblo, went in depth, hundreds of witnesses, you know, on and on and on. And but for the so-called investigation of the Liberty, it was just a matter of a few days. Wish I could find it in my notes. But, you know, it showed, here it is right here. I'm going to see if you guys probably already know this. Let me see here. I'm looking here. In evaluating the Liberty Court of Inquiry, it says it's worth comparing it to the court that examined North Korea's capture of Pueblo. The Liberty Court lasted just 8 days. I'll repeat that. The Liberty Court lasted 8 days. And by the way, this is not a congressional hearing. It looks to me like it's just some kind of a off in the back room somewhere. I guess they're just trying to make people feel good. It's like they thought they did something. It lasted 8 days, interviewed just 14 crewmen. Well, that's guys, I hear the music already. I'm sorry. We'll go right back to this, and I'm going to get y'all's opinion about it as soon as we come back to this break. Be right back, folks. Got to go to the commercial break. Hold it in your seats.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. This is a very emotional program. No matter how many times we do this every year, I still just get all like jelly. I'm going back. Now, I won't spend much time on this thing. We were talking about, let me find my place here. If I lose it, let's see here. You're talking about, okay, we go. We're talking about, and if you young folks know anything about the Pueblo, and that's almost like before my time. It was captured by the North Korea. And we're going to contrast a little bit of that with the investigation they spent into the Pueblo that was captured by North Korea, Goyam. Okay, it says the Liberty Court lasted just 8 days, interviewed just 14 crewmen, produced a final transcript that was 158 pages. In contrast, the Pueblo Court lasted almost 4 months, interviewed more than 100 witnesses, and produced a final transcript that was nearly 3,400 pages. Captain Ward Boston, the lawyer for the Liberty Court, broke his silence in 2002, stating that investigators were barred from traveling to Israel to interview the attackers, collect Israeli war logs, or review communications. Furthermore, he said, Johnson and Defense Secretary Robert M. McNamara, may they rest in hell, ordered the court to endorse Israel's claim. I'm going to repeat that again. Your beloved president, LBJ, and his defense secretary, Robert McNamara, ordered them, probably on the penalty of prison, to endorse Israel's claim that the attack was an accident. And it says, which Captain Ward Boston, personally did not believe the case. He says I'm aware that the Israeli pilots undertook the attack, as well as their supporters who ordered the attack were well aware that the ship was American ship. Larry, do you know anything about that statement?
Yes, I do. I mean, I know that Boston came out in, I think you said 2002, and, you know, had a written affidavit that said, you know, that he was convinced that, you know, he didn't have enough time to review the report. They took the report from him, and you know, he had notes on the copy, but he said none of his notes came into play in the final court of inquiry. So, you know, I don't know. Again, that's another one of those, you know, don't say anything negative. And if you do, you know, they're going to scrub it from the from the final report anyway. So,
yes, sir. I'm certainly knowing what I know now. I'm certainly not surprised. Bob, you know, we were talking about during the break. By the way, people, if you're just tuning in, we have the United States Ship Liberty Sailor Zone, and we're honoring them as best we can with our little meager resources. We have Bob Scarborough. I'm going to ask Bob Scarborough a question that we asked during the break. Bob, you know, I asked you and Larry, and I think I'm almost sure I heard Phil Torrey say this, another Liberty survivor who had a radio show on with Liberty News Radio some time ago. And but I'm very proud we helped get them on. But I'm almost positive. Next time I talk to Phil, I'm going to ask him. He said there were some Liberty sailors, and I'm going to run this by Bob. The Liberty sailors had gone to Washington, D.C. They were supposed to be able to talk to some congressmen about things concerning the U.S. Liberty attack on the USS Liberty by the Israelis. And but when their time came to talk and ask questions, their mic was muted. They let the personnel from Israel tell the story about what really happened, and there was an accident, et cetera. And Bob, I asked you about this. Would you please comment on that, what you said, what we talked about during the break?
Yeah, I did see a video of that particular meeting, and there was an Israeli there named Michael Oren, who stood in front of this group, refused to allow any of the Liberty sailors that were present for that meeting to speak. Absolutely refused to allow anyone to speak except himself and the other Israelis that were there to support him. I thought it was just disgusting, actually. And that, I believe, yeah, that it's available online somewhere, that Michael Oren meeting. Larry, are
so
you?
Michael Oren.
Yeah, I couldn't. I don't remember seeing the video. I do remember hearing, you know, Phil talk about the. You know, the fact that sailors were sent to Washington to talk to congressmen. But I never heard, you know, what came out of that. So you've cleared that up by saying that it was the Israelis that only got to speak and not the sailors, which,
correct.
You know, for me, I don't hate anyone, but I am thoroughly disgusted with our government for their lack of, you know, investigating what happened to the USS Liberty. You know, there's never been a congressional investigation like you talked about for the Pueblo. The Liberty clearly should have had a lot more people involved in the Court of Inquiry, and then there should have been a congressional investigation where more, you know, sailors would have been called to testify. We're getting a little long in the tooth now, and I think they're just waiting until we've all died off, and then maybe they'll take some action. But, you know, we're still pushing, hoping that someone out there will contact their congressman and say, I want you to investigate this USS Liberty incident. We've tried for the past 56 years to get it done, and we haven't been successful. So,
yes, sir. You know, we had a pastor on here. I know some people don't like him. Why, I don't know. His name is Chuck Baldwin. In fact, some of the stuff I'm reading came off of Chuck Baldwin's site. He published a paper that says, The Lost Veterans That Almost Nobody Remembers. He published that May the 25th of this year. And I also have this report I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Admiral Thomas Moore report, and it's by these other officers, two admirals, United States Marine Corps general, and the ambassador. This is a thorough report. I'm going to finish this whole report one of these days this month and just go over everything. I can't do that today because I got you guys on, and your time is too precious. But, you know, and I want people to please know I'm not trying to toot my horn or say anything special. But that's what set me off like a bomb when we were down there 2 years ago in Pensacola. Larry, I don't remember meeting you there, but I know I remember meeting Bob, and we bent our elbows a little bit, drank some of the Kentucky's finest. We were down there at night after the ceremonies were kind of adjourned for the night. But my offer is still there. I know we're all getting you longer the tooth, but I'm in pretty good physical shape. And it's one of my dreams, guys. Now, this is kind of a rabbit trail. I would love to go to Washington, D.C. with some guys and get on the steps. And I mean, just raise flat out, holy hell. Where they would have to either machine gun us or put us in prison or, by God, let you guys have an audience before Congress. Put my offer out there then, and it still stands. You know, I have zero faith. Please forgive this rabbit trail, guys. I have less than zero faith in any stinking congressman or any stinking so-called senator, because they're all bought and paid for by the stinking Israeli lobby. Everybody knows that. They're not going to do anything. If anything's done, like a little lady from South Africa we've had on our show, her father said when they were trying to fight for their life in South Africa, and people ask him, why are you doing this? You know, you're going to get wiped out. He said, if not us, who will? That's what I say. If not us, who? So my offer is still there. It's my dying. That's one of the things in my big bucket list I would love to do. I would like to go to steps of the United States ship of the Capitol with posters, a bullhorn, and just raise hell. I mean, and just demand to get an audience with the Congress up there without the stinking Israelis interfering. And that's my opinion. And I'm sorry for going off you guys, but that's one of my solutions. But I don't want to get too carried away. But before we go back, I'm gonna go back to you guys. This report put forth by Admiral Thomas Moore, God, I respect that guy. He said, here's what he said on June 8th, 1967, and I'm reading this for a reason. After 8 hours, 8 solid hours of aerial surveillance, then Israel launched a 2-hour air and naval attack on USS Liberty. So, and like you said earlier, Larry, there was 34 dead, 174 wounded, a casualty rate of 70% in a crew of 294. So, I know this is kind of a rhetorical question. Bob, I'm going to ask you, do you think that totally destroys any common sense explanation? It totally destroys what the Israeli said. They had no idea it was an American ship. And I've also prefaced this. It says there was an 8x5, a new, like a, I think we call them in the Army, a garrison flag. I think three flags, but there was an 8x5 foot garrison United States flag on that ship. And they had flown, once again, 8 hours of surveillance. What do you think about that, Bob? They have the audacity to say it was a mistake. Give us your comment on that, Bob.
Well, even worse, there was Liberty in 5-foot letters across the fantail, and GTR-5, which had to be in what, Larry, 15-foot lettering on the bow, yeah, on both sides of the bow of the ship. We started off with the standard running colors hanging from the mainmast, and that was shot away, and they sent another flag up that was, I think, an 8x5, and ended up, and correct me if I'm wrong, Larry, but I was told that eventually they had a holiday routine flag, which was 7x13 feet flying above the ship.
You're right. And I do remember saying that they were going to launch, you know, the holiday colors because the others had been shot up.
Hey, guys, hang on. Exactly. We have to take a break. We're transitioning into the second hour. And We'll come back to you guys. We're going into the second hour. I want to hold you guys on for at least another half hour if you can stay. Dear Blood River Radio audience, please hold on. We're going to continue on with honoring the sailors. This is the second of a three-part series this month. So hold on, folks. Be right back.